Imagine sitting on the world's largest reserves of a precious metal, only to realize the global economy is, well, about to stop needing it. Welcome to your custom deep dive. Today, we're looking at South Africa's 2018 to 2021 Industrial Policy Action Plan, or IPPAP.
Right, the IPPA.
Yeah, and our mission today is to figure out how a resource-heavy nation tries to, re-engineer its economy from just exporting raw dirt to creating actual high-value manufacturing jobs. So, okay, let's unpack this.
It is quite the undertaking.
It really is. South Africa has this brutal economic tension.
Yeah.
I mean, as of 2017, they were facing an extreme 27.7% unemployment rate. They desperately need jobs, but their manufacturing sector is actually shrinking.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is the data shows a massive structural shift going on. Over the last decade, the financial and services sectors grew, but manufacturing dropped to just 13.2% of GDP.
Wow, just 13%.
Exactly. And the sources point to, quote, institutional failures as the root cause. Specifically, they highlight corruption and rent-seeking within state-owned companies.
Let's actually define rent-seeking here, because, it's not just a corporate buzzword.
Right. It's basically when entities manipulate the system to extract wealth, but without creating any new value.
Right. That makes sense.
So in this case, monopolies over energy and transport bloated their own operating costs. And that severely drove up basic electricity tariffs and port logistics fees for literally every other business trying to operate in the country.
See, that is exactly where I struggle with the ambition of this whole policy. You have this sweeping plan for advanced manufacturing, but the grid keeps failing and the ports are jammed. It's like trying to build a state-of-the-art factory on a foundation of quicksand.
Oh, that's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't guarantee reliable power or affordable shipping, isn't advanced industrial policy just a pipe dream?
Well, you'd think so, right? Like, how do you build an advanced economy on unstable infrastructure? But this is exactly where the source material surprised me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Despite the quicksand, there are specific sectors where targeted government intervention actually shielded industries from total collapse.
But I want to know exactly how they did that. I mean, take the clothing and textile sector. The text mentions it was facing this flood of cheap imports due to global liberalization.
Right, so international trade barriers dropping.
Yeah, basically exposing local factories to massive external competition. So how did the government actually save it?
Well, they didn't just, throw money at the problem. They used very precise policy levers.
Okay, like what?
They applied targeted tariffs to make imported goods more expensive. And simultaneously, they brokered these strict local procurement mandates with major South African retailers.
Wait, so forcing retail chains to buy local.
Exactly. By forcing them to buy a certain percentage of their stock locally, they artificially created a stable domestic market. That insulated the sector from those crazy global market forces.
So they basically manipulated the demand side directly.
Yep. And they used a similar targeted approach with the Black Industrialist Program. Instead of just broad, generic business loans, they used direct grant finance specifically for enterprises with at least a 50% Black shareholding.
Oh, so it directly links the capital injection to structural demographic transformation in the industrial sector.
Precisely.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's circle back to that platinum problem I mentioned at the start.
Ah, yes, the EV threat.
Yeah. South Africa absolutely dominates global platinum production. But the rise of electric vehicles threatens the whole industry because, well, EVs don't use traditional platinum catalytic converters.
Right, it's an existential threat to one of their biggest exports.
Exactly.
But their pivot is brilliant. They are using their massive platinum reserves to develop cutting-edge hydrogen fuel cells, but they're specifically designing them for underground mining equipment.
So instead of just waiting for the auto market to crash, they are engineering their own domestic demand.
Yes, and mechanically, it actually solves a secondary problem.
Yeah.
Well, using hydrogen fuel cells instead of diesel equipment 4 kilometers underground, that removes toxic emissions. It offers major health and safety benefits.
Wow, that's incredibly smart.
It is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, these isolated wins prove that hyper-focused policy and private sector partnerships actually work.
Right.
But the text is clear. These micro successes cannot scale nationally without fixing the macro level energy and infrastructure bottlenecks.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ignore the quicksand forever. So what does this all mean for you? When you're looking at a national economic strategy or even a corporate pivot, success isn't always about the grand blueprint.
Right.
It's about how well you can isolate and protect specific vulnerabilities using precise levers while those broader structural problems are being fixed.
Exactly. The micro-interventions buy you time to fix the macro foundation.
Yep.
Which brings up a serious question for the future. The action plan heavily emphasizes adapting to the accelerating digital industrial revolution.
Right, the shift toward highly advanced automation.
Yes.
So here is the thought we want to leave you with today. As this digital revolution speeds up, how can developing nations embrace highly automated technologies without wiping out the very labor-intensive, entry-level jobs they desperately need to solve their massive unemployment crises?
It's a tough balancing act.
Definitely. Think about that. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.
Awesome.